webcasting around the world from the desert metropolis of Phoenix, Arizona, this is The Dividing Line. The Apostle Peter commanded Christians to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us, yet to give that answer with gentleness and reverence. Our host is Dr. James White, Director of Alpha and Omega Ministries and an elder at the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church. This is a live program, and we invite your participation. If you'd like to talk with Dr. White, call now at 602-973-4602 or toll free across the United States. It's 1-877-753-3341. And now with today's topic, here is James White.
And good morning. Welcome to The Dividing Line. I wanted to start off today, first of all, thanking you for tuning in, especially after a week off. I think that was the first vacation I've had since 1989. So, and I spent it tromping through the woods of Alaska. I'm going to tell you something. There is no more beautiful place on the planet than Alaska. After speaking in Anchorage at a conference there with Tom Askell and Steve Lawson, then we went down towards Seward, the Kenai Peninsula. And let me tell you something. Every time you come around a corner, it's time to stop the RV, get out, and take another picture, because it is just, hey, that is one gorgeous place to live. Of course, in just a few months, you'll only be able to see it for 4 hours a day. That is, if you survive the cold, you know, freeze to death. You know, that's, I'm sorry? It'll be all white. Yes, basically, it will be all white. So it is. And I've often said, I've often thought about moving to Alaska and opening a tire store. And they do need tires in Alaska, but I discovered something else they need in Alaska more. They need windshields. Every vehicle I was in had a cracked windshield. Because the roads get so grungy and there's all this stuff all over it pretty much all year long, and it gets kicked up in your windows and everybody has a cracked windshield. So that would be the store to open in Alaska, is a windshield thing. Anyway, two things, and I don't have sufficient information for either one with me, unfortunately. But be watching the blog and the website for a new banner ad. We want to try to encourage everyone that we can to sign up and to attend the conference in November 21st and 22nd in Durham, North Carolina. The Battle for the Truth Conference will be going on at that time. Myself and Phil Johnson will be speaking, and others. But we really need to sort of come alongside here, and I want to encourage everyone in that area, and if you can travel, it'd be worth doing so, to be there for that conference. It is important that we get that going, especially so that we can have the debate on the 20th with Zulfikar Shah. And I think that's really, really important. We really need to do that. So be watching for the banner ad for the Battle for the Truth Conference November 21st, 22nd of this year in Durham, North Carolina. In September, and hopefully if I get this information, I had hoped I would have it before the program started today, but I haven't received it as yet. If I do receive it during the program, I will let you know that. In fact, Rich is going to go and check my email for me here a little bit later so that I can see if it has arrived, and he can forward it to one of my web addresses so I can pull it down that way. But three debates in Southern California, and I just got some information about these today, so it'll be a little bit more useful to folks. I and some others will be speaking on common subjects in Islam. I'll be speaking on the atonement on the 19th of September, and then on the 20th of September, which is a Saturday, in the L.A. area, probably the Fullerton area, but again, I want to be able to give you that specific information. We will post it as soon as it comes in, obviously. I will be doing, I didn't know I was going to be doing this, I'll be doing two debates in one day. I'll be doing the morning and the evening debates. David Wood will be doing the afternoon debate. Again, on Islamic subjects, and I believe I'll be debating the same individual in both of those debates. And then the next day, we're going to be moving, and this is what I didn't know about, so those of you who are In fact, I can think of one MMA fan who's going to Westminster who'd be very happy about this. A good bud of mine that I can't really admit that in public or I get in trouble. But anyways, I know he's listening right now because he said he was having DL withdrawals last week. But we're going to be heading down to San Diego County. I think San Diego State University. I think again, details forthcoming. And I'll be doing the early afternoon debate on Sunday. And so that's two debates on Saturday, one debate on Sunday. And then I'll probably, if we can work out the flight schedules, fly straight out from San Diego. It'll be a whole lot easier than trying to drive all the way back to L.A. Two different opponents, three different debates, key issues in regards to reliability, the New Testament, the deity of Christ, and issues along those lines there in California. And this will be next month, less than a month away. And that's why we need to get this information out to everybody so that you can be in attendance. I know sometimes it's like, well, you know, we can always catch the video or something like that. It's always good to have people there live to support you and to be there to pray for the Muslims that are there, et cetera, et cetera. So I would highly encourage you to consider being there and to participating in those debates, supporting us with your prayers and your presence and so on and so forth. So keep those things in mind. We likewise continue to remind you of the upcoming opportunities in London in November. Still seeking to make sure we have all of our costs on that covered. And that then is, you know, I do the London stuff. I've got two debates, formal debates in, you know, in the same format that we'll be doing it in Southern California as far as people coming and listening to the debate and timed and moderated. And then, Lord willing, we will be doing a call-in program, myself and Abdullah, who you all know from my YouTube videos, on local cable television program there in London, Lord willing. And that's another thing I got to be working on this week to get all that stuff nailed down. And so that's going to be very, very interesting. Lots of stuff. And then coming back, flying back from London to Durham and then being at the Battle for Truth Conference. So it's going to be a very, very busy November. And then I think I have 1 week back, and then the next weekend I'll be in St. Louis. So all sorts of stuff going on. I'm going to be in Santa Fe. If I had my calendar in front of me, I could tell you these things. I should probably have a calendar program sitting just up on this thing so I can always look here and make sure that I know what in the world I'm blabbing about. But I believe we're looking at September 12th and 13th, I believe. So I've got Santa Fe, Southern California, and then we have the Ligonier Conference here in Phoenix in September. I needed that vacation because this fall is going to be absolutely incredible. So pray for us and support us as we're doing this work. I have a number of clips to play today. Of course, we do have a phone number, 877-753-3341. I have two cameras staring at me today, and we are, I know, like Frank, did you know Frank Turk wrote to me and whined about the sound? You know, and I wrote back and said, well, you know, I'm just using my little camera, and so it doesn't have an audio input, and this has just got to be simple and easy.
Well, for Frank's benefit, I finally got around to getting it all hooked up.
That's a much bigger camera than mine.
It's a much bigger camera, yeah. And it's much more versatile. And,
in fact, that's the camera we use for our debates.
That's one of the cameras we use for our debates, yeah, yes. And yeah. Since it's sitting around here, we might as well put it to work.
Yeah.
And so today we're testing it, but it looks everything looks good.
Looks
here.
Like it's recording, okay.
Yeah, pretty much for the most part.
Good,
yeah.
Pretty much for the most part? You mean for the part that didn't work?
I'll let you know when we're done.
That's right. Yeah, we're still using the little one as a backup, just in case our settings aren't quite the way we would have them to be. But yeah, full studio size. Well, studio size. It's the camera that we use when we travel and do debates, stuff like that. And but it's recording on a computer in the other room, so we have the audio inputs rather than that's better. We knew that this was the best way to do it, but the main thing is you've got to have a quick format so I can quickly get it up on YouTube and not have to spend, you know, a great deal of time. So Frank will be very, very happy about that. Though, you know, I shouldn't have mentioned that because now people know that I know him. And, you know, his rep, man, I tell you, and in the internet, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as yours.
Almost. but his is deserved, mine isn't. Okay, I'm going to hear about that one. When you're reliant upon comic book characters, you know, to fill in the places where your arguments aren't so good. I'm going to hear about that one, too. But, hey, if he comes in channel, I can sock him and kick him and do all sorts of stuff like that. So who knows? Maybe that's what will happen. I have some clips, very good clips. And once again, I wish to thank James Swan for providing these clips for me. I listened to this one before we left. I was up in Alaska, but I downloaded it because I wanted to listen to it. And it is truly interesting to listen to Carl Keating talking about Reformed folks. Carl Keating's a fascinating fellow. He really is. I'm not sure how to describe him. You know, a nice fellow to talk with, you know, rather laid back, shall we say. And but we do what we do for different reasons. There's no question about that. There's a different drive between myself and Carl along those things. And there was a call on Catholic Answers, and R.C. Sproul came up. And since R.C. is going to be here in Phoenix in just a few weeks, Lord willing, and to be meeting with him, had him on the program recently. And so let's listen to what Carl Keating has to say about R.C. Sproul on a recent edition of Catholic Answers Live.
This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, we were just in Florida there with Matthew, and we're going to stay in Florida and go over to the West Coast, as they call it, the West Coast of Florida. Dave's in Tampa. Hi, Dave.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I have an ongoing attack from a Calvinist friend. He gave me a CD of a talk by R.C. Sproul, where Dr. Sproul, on a tour of Rome, went to the Lateran Church, you may have heard this, where he understood the steps that Jesus walked to Pilate's judgment were. And Dr. Sproul goes on to make a very disrespecting comedy of the Catholic practice of granting indulgences for reciting prayers in a cult-like fashion on those steps.
Now, let me just stop right there just for a moment. So much to be said about something like that. Ongoing attack from a Calvinist friend. You know, I wonder if Catholic Answers Live is considered to be, you know, an ongoing attack on Protestantism or something like that. That probably isn't. But anyway, crawling up steps on your knees to get indulgences. And obviously, Dr. Sproul would have as the background of that the practices as they were going on at the time of the Reformation. Indulgences are still part and parcel of Roman Catholic theology, and as such, this is where I sort of wonder at times if either how clear we have been or how little the other side has listened, and given that we're talking about Roman Catholic apologists here and how many times we've documented the fact that they really don't listen or don't seek to understand, then we could sort of figure out which direction that goes. But the point is that you have a practice here that from a biblical perspective is grossly unbiblical. It is directly contradictory to the biblical teachings concerning the sufficiency and perfection of the sacrifice of Christ. I guess we did have one debate long, long ago on indulgences in Austin. That would be an excellent subject. I would love to get Tim Staples or Carl Keating or Patrick Madrid or any of these guys try to defend indulgences. They recognize that really outside of the authority of the church, you're not going to have much success there. That's one of the reasons they rarely want to debate the Marian dogmas, which is why it's so important that we did that Marian Dogmas debate, which might be available in just a short period of time in another format. We'll have to let y'all know about that. But
that's actually rendering as we speak.
It's rendering as we speak. Pretty soon, folks, you're going to be able to download that debate in a video format for viewing on your iPod and on your computer and stuff like that. Isn't that exciting? That's good news. But that's why we did those things. But anyways, they recognize there are certain topics that, you know, the only way you can really defend it is to start off with the assumption of the authority of the church. It's just the only, you can't defend it any other way. You can't defend it as being ancient. Indulgences aren't ancient, despite what Frank Beckwith says. And this is a clearly unbiblical, grossly, and it's so grossly misrepresents the finished work of Christ that you really have to just stretch things horrendously. And so, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, when they say mocking, you know, I've seen Catholics describe my debates as being filled with mockery. When I ask them, and exactly when did you watch this? Well, I've actually not watched it. Well, when did you listen? Well, I've actually not listened to it. But I talked to someone who did, you know, that kind of thing. It's happened so many times. And how long ago did Guardian call? Are we coming up on a year yet? Fairly, very close to a year. And isn't there somebody else we're waiting on too? I keep forgetting, you know. These folks can so confidently say, oh, you're wrong about everything. I could give a list of a football field long about all your errors. And, well, why don't you do that? Well, give me 6 months, a year, 6 years, 10 years. I'll come up with something. That's how it works. But anyway, so I wonder a little bit about, you know, exactly what Dr. Sproul said, because I haven't heard the specific talk he has in mind here.
Sproul went on to talk about how he couldn't even get near them. There were so many people waiting in line, and how indulgences are not scripturally based.
That's for sure.
I've read a significant amount on Catholic.com on this, and understand that there are plenty of doctrinal issues, or at least I guess you'd call them they're coming from the doctrine. Can you help me out with answering this?
Well, you know, Dr. Sproul is a bit of a difficult case because he's a bit of a difficult man. He's in many ways a good scholar, well-respected in evangelical circles, but quite frankly, he's prejudiced against the Catholic faith, somewhat like C.S. Lewis. I don't think he's not remotely as good a scholar as Lewis, but Lewis himself was prejudiced against the Catholic faith, probably a chief reason why he never considered really coming to Rome. It was largely because of his Northern Irish Protestant background, and he was never able to unload that. But Sproul actually goes further than Lewis. Lewis never voiced his anti-Catholic senses in any real public way. Sproul does that regularly, and he's done that for many years, which is, I think, really too bad, because in a way, when he does it, he's unworthy of himself. I don't think that in a case like Sproul, it's a matter of lack of understanding, because it doesn't take a whole lot to understand the Catholic teaching on indulgences. You mentioned that you had gone to Catholic.com and, I guess, read there the tracts, for example, that we have on indulgences and the references there to other places that talk about it, such as the old Catholic Encyclopedia, which we have online at our site, has a long article on indulgences and the history of the controversy about them. I'm sure you've gone through that, so there's no purpose in repeating on air any of that. But there is a substantial argument there in favor of the doctrine and practice of indulgences. And yet, unfortunately, Dr. Sproul doesn't get past poo-pooing that. He doesn't actually engage that. So he goes to Rome, he goes to...
He doesn't actually engage that? I mean, are you really serious that R.C. has never given a meaningful criticism of indulgences? That makes absolutely positively no sense.
What's actually the Cathedral of Rome, St. John Lateran Church, that's the Pope's own church, and across the street from that, preserved in a separate building, are the Scala Sancta, the sacred steps, said to be the steps that our Lord himself went up on his last day. And these are the site. This is the site of pious prayers by people from all over the world who believe those to be the actual steps.
Pious prayers. What if it's just not true? So that's one of the things is in Rome, it's like, well, you know, if it isn't really true, it doesn't really matter. You know, ever heard of the House of Loreto? The House of Loreto, popes gave indulgences for people who visited the House of Loreto. The House of Loreto is allegedly Mary's house, which was picked up and carried by angels through the air to Italy and placed there so that people could come and visit Mary's house and get indulgences. I guess that people in Italy needed more indulgences than people in wherever it was. But anyway, this idea of, you know, who cares if it's not really true? It's still pious. In Christianity, no. It's not true. It's not pious in the first place. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. God is a God of truth. And you're to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not spirit and piety that doesn't care about truth. And that's one of the biggest differences here.
And whether or not they are, they are there to commemorate the sacrifice that our Lord made.
No, that's the whole problem, Carl, is that the sacrifice the Lord makes in Roman Catholic theology is unbiblical, false, doesn't save anyone, and that's the whole point that we need to get to.
And many people can be seen going up that long flight of steps on their knees, often in considerable pain, offering that penance, that pain, to God for their own sins and in thanksgiving for what Christ did for them and for the world. And yet this is something that R.C. Sproul poo-poos.
Yes, most undoubtedly, without question. Roman Catholics poo-poo faith alone. Roman Catholics poo-poo the solas of the Reformation, if we want to use such odd terminology. That's because they believe them to be false. And we believe indulgences to be false and false piety to be something that people should be warned against, not encouraged in.
There's not much one can say here because, quite honestly, this is a personal fault with the man. It's not an intellectual fault. You know, he's a very intelligent man. There's no reason that he shouldn't be able to understand and therefore have a certain sympathy with the Catholic teaching on this. I mean,
why, if you understand it, will you have a sympathy with it? See, you hear Carl Keating's thought process here? If you'd understand it, you'd have a sympathy with it. What if you understand it and it revolts you? What if you understand it and it's repulsive to you because it's so grossly contradictory to the Bible's teaching about the finished work of Jesus Christ? Isn't that evidently, that's not a possibility from their perspective. If you just really understood it, then you'd at least have some respect for it. No.
You or I, perhaps, have read the history and tenets of some religion to which we're not subscribing. I mean, I myself, just today, I'm reading a book that has to do with the ancient Egyptian religion. Obviously, I don't subscribe to it, but I can have a certain sympathy for the people who did believe in that, a certain understanding with them. They have a commonality with me. We're both human, and they may have lived 4,000 years ago, but I can have a certain appreciation of them. And I'm not going to...
Appreciation of them or of their false religion? I mean, if you read about the Egyptians doing human sacrifice, do you appreciate human sacrifice? We read about Moloch and the offering of children in passing through the fire to Moloch. Do we appreciate this? No, it's idolatry. It should be repulsive and disgusting to us, not, oh, well, I appreciate that.
To poo-poo... Yeah, if they still were alive, I wouldn't poo-poo what they believed in. I could disagree with it and say, here, I think this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong for these reasons. But I wouldn't make fun of it. Because when I get to the point of making fun of someone else's religion, I'm not actually being rational at that point. I'm simply letting prejudice take over. And that's what Dr. Sproul has done. I've always thought it a pity because in many ways I respect what he stands for, what he's done. He's been a big influence on evangelical Christians and especially on fundamentalists. To many of them, he is the top scholar from their points of view.
Now, you notice he has no understanding of the difference between classic fundamentalism and Reformed theology at all. They just don't invest the time to understand where the distinctions are, and that's why they continue to struggle against Reformed apologists, because they don't want to see a difference between us and Jack Chick. They don't see that we're coming from very, very different perspectives.
But I think he does himself a disservice and them a disservice because of this prejudice that he's not able to hide, and this lack of sympathy, this basic human sympathy for those who happen to belong to the Roman Communion.
Thanks for that.
Mm. All right, Dave. We have a tract on that, I believe, as part of our 120 apologetics.
Oh, we do. We got several tracts on indulgences and a number of things. As I say, Dave's probably already looked at them online because he did say he's gone to Catholic.com.
Yeah, right.
But there no doubt are many folks listening now who have not had a chance to do that, so I would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, you can go to Catholic.com, and go ahead and read everything you jolly well want to read on the subject of indulgences, and it will be very, very interesting. 877-753-3341 is the phone number that Gideon has called. We're going to get to his phone call and your phone calls as well, but we're going to take a quick break a little bit early today and then come back with Gideon's call and more clips from Jimmy Akin and Tim Staples and others. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Rich Pierce. In a day and age where the gospel is being twisted into a man-centered self-help program, the need for a no-nonsense presentation of the gospel has never been greater. I am convinced that a great many go to church every Sunday, yet they have never been confronted with their sin. Alpha and Omega Ministries is dedicated to presenting the gospel in a clear and concise manner, making no excuses. Man is sinful and God is holy. That sinful man is in need of a perfect Savior, and Jesus Christ is that perfect Savior. We are to come before the Holy God with an empty hand of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Alpha and Omega takes that message to every group that we deal with, while equipping the body of Christ as well. Support Alpha and Omega Ministries, and help us to reach even more with the pure message of God's glorious grace. Thank you.
Public Crimes. The Criminal Mishandling of God's Word may be James White's most provocative book yet. White sets out to examine numerous crimes being committed in pulpits throughout our land every week, as he seeks to leave no stone unturned. Based firmly upon the bedrock of Scripture, one crime after another is laid bare for all to see. The pulpit is to be a place where God speaks from His Word. What has happened to this sacred duty in our day? The charges are as follows. Prostitution using the gospel for financial gain. Pandering to pluralism, cowardice under fire, felonious eisegesis, entertainment without a license, and cross-dressing, ignoring God's ordinance regarding the roles of men and women. Is a pulpit crime occurring in your town? Get Pulpit Crimes in the bookstore at aomen.org.
Well, back into the dividing line today. We're going to go ahead and take our first phone caller, and let's talk with Gideon. Hi, Gideon. How are you?
Hi, Dr. White. I'm fine. How are you?
Doing all right.
Okay. I was recently talking with a Oneness Pentecostal person on the doctrine of the Trinity, mm-hmm. and this Muslim fellow jumps in, and he posts all these texts from Encyclopedia Britannica arguing that Matthew 28:19 was a later interpolation into the text. because all other Christian baptismal texts in the New Testament say that baptism is said to be in Jesus' name. Have you ever heard that kind of objection before?
Oh, of course. It's utterly groundless and based upon pure ignorance, which is why the Encyclopedia Britannica is not something you'd ever want to utilize when it comes to any type of biblical or interpretational issue. The Encyclopedia Britannica is not written by theologians or people who believe in the Bible, and so in their ignorance, they don't recognize that the baptism in the name of Jesus is not contradictory to the baptismal formula. Furthermore, there's absolutely no textual foundation whatsoever for making the assertion that it is a later interpolation. It is in the earliest manuscripts we have. There is absolutely no factual, basic, historical foundation for rejecting the words of Matthew 28:19. The only reason to reject it is because you misunderstand that baptism in the name of Jesus is not a specific formula where you're saying, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. It just simply means Christian baptism, and that the actual formula is provided there in Matthew 28:19. Is perfectly reflective of what is purely Christian baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's no historical reason to do it, no textual reason to do it, and the only theological reason to do it is if, A, you assume modalism and reject the clear distinction between the Father, Son, and Spirit that is provided in the text of Scripture, or you're ignorant like the writers of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and you don't understand those things and throw those things out.
Oh, okay, thanks. That helps a lot.
Okay, all righty, thank you.
All right, thank
you. Bye-bye. I was rather straightforward with that, but the reason is rather clear, and that is because we need to be straightforward about it. It is very common for Oneness Pentecostals to make that kind of argument and to assert that those words, because they speak of baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are later interpolation. And that's because they baptize in the name of Jesus alone. And are therefore opposed to that particular thing. Never had to do this before, but actually going to need to wrap things up early today. I apologize. It's a physical issue. It's just simply a matter of a back spasm coming on that makes it next to impossible to function. And unfortunately, I'm supposed to be on Iron Sharpens Iron in half an hour. For Chris Arnzen's second anniversary week, and so I'd like to try to get this dealt with. I apologize concerning this. We've never had to do this before, but that's what happens once in a while. So we're going to need to wrap this up. We, Lord willing, will be back on Thursday and taking your phone calls and get these other, who knows, maybe we'll tack the next half hour on to Thursday if we need to do that. But if that's the way it happens, that's the way it happens. So thanks for listening to the program, the abbreviated version today. And Lord willing, we'll be with you on Thursday. See you then. God bless.
Dividing Line has been brought to you by Alpha and Omega Ministries. If you'd like to contact us, call us at 602-973-4602 or write us at P.O. Box 37106, Phoenix, Arizona 85069. You can also find us on the World Wide Web at aomin.org. That's aomin.org, where you'll find a complete listing of James White's books, tapes, debates, and tracks. Join us again this Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. for The Dividing Line.